Accession number 27803, Mr. Vic Stone, Rail 1. Could you tell me when and where you were born, Mr. Stone?
I was born in Romford on the 6th of January 1923.
And could you tell us a bit about your family background?
Family background, yes. I went to just an ordinary elementary school.
No, but about your parents.
My father was a builder. Obviously, he was in the First World War, and when he came out, he went in back in the building trade.
Who did he serve with in the First World War? Do you know?
I think it was a Remy.
Did it affect him at all?
No, not as far as I know. No. I don't think so. As a boy, I can't remember that it did affect him, because he was always working, and he worked quite hard, you know. At that time, jobs were scarce, I think, after the war, and he did most jobs. He did a bit of building. There was times when he'd go out selling coal, heaving coal, to get some money to keep the family, because there was three of us in the family, my two sisters and myself. I was the youngest of the three. We lived a reasonable life. In those days, there wasn't a lot of money around, so we didn't have all the extras in life that perhaps some children did have, you know.
Did your mother work as well, or was she looking after you?
No, my mother looked after all of us. She didn't go to work at all, no.
So, no. Not that comfortable, but comfortable enough.
Yes, we used to get by each week. As I say, my father, sometimes he'd do two jobs, maybe. He'd go out and do a bit of extra on a Sunday or something, you know, to bring in a few shillings, which it was. He used to have allotment, and obviously in those days we used to grow a lot of stuff. People did have allotments years ago, and they grew a lot of stuff for themselves. And he was a fantastic man for flowers. He had a beautiful two allotment size. Just flowers, which he used to sell, once again, to get a bit more money. I suppose, really, they call him an enterprising man these days, you know. But he looked after us very, very well. We had plenty of food on the table. It wasn't always the best, you know, but we used to have quite a lot of fruit. He used to make sure we had quite a bit of fruit. He used to think that was better than sweets, although he'd always buy us sweets. But to him, fruit was far better, health-wise, than sugary stuff, which I suppose today would be something which would be quite to the fore, I think, with a lot of kiddies today.
Now, what about your education? Tell us a bit about that. Which school did you go
to? I went to Highlands Elementary School in Hornchurch. I suppose you could call me an average person. I think my best subjects were arithmetic, mental arithmetic, anything using the brain, I suppose. I was no good, I was no good at history, hopeless at history. Geography, not too bad. Mechanical drawing was something which I was quite good at as well. It was a nice life at school, thoroughly enjoyed school. If I couldn't go to school, I'm told that I used to cry. If I was ill and I couldn't go to school, I used to cry because I couldn't go now. That to me today seems a bit strange. I can't see kiddies would cry today if they couldn't go to school, would they?
Were you there till 14 or any longer?
Yes, no, I left there at 14.
Were you interested in sport?
Yes, I was. Up until the time that I left school, I used to play football and I used to play cricket. Not rugby, that was a little bit too rough. I didn't like that. Because I was small, I think they used to attack me more, because I was very small until I left school. And then I think in about 4 years, I think I grew about 3 inches, which was very surprising. But,
any big hobbies at home that that you did, or were you in the Boy Scouts or anything?
Life boys, yes, and also then when I was about 17, I went into the army cadets. Yes, I went in there.
But that was during the war.
When I was 17, yeah, before the war, wouldn't it be? 37, 38, 39, yes.
17 would be 1940.
Yes, 1940, that's right, yeah, it would be, yes. Yes, it must have been then that I was in the... And then, of course, when I was old enough, a friend of mine who lived...
Hang on, you're running ahead a bit. So what happened when you left? You left school at 14, so that would be 1937.
37, that's
so
right, yes.
So what did you do then? What work did you do?
I worked in a greengrocer's shop.
What were you doing?
Well, I used to generally fill up the fixtures with potatoes and whatever the fixtures needed filling up with. I would fill them up, you know, and I'd go up to market with the van driver and pick up the stuff early in the morning to bring back to the shops, because he had two shops. He had one in Romford and one at Gideon Park. We used to deliver quite a few orders in the Gideon Park area. And then from there...
Did you enjoy the work?
I did, very much indeed, yes. Very much indeed, yes, yes. See, I didn't have a good education, so therefore... In my day, going back many years, you had to be very good to get somewhere with education.
So how long were you at the greengrocer's?
I think I stayed there for about 18 months, a couple of years, I think it was.
into 39?
And then, yes, and then I went to work at a butcher shop. My friend, his brother-in-law, had a butcher shop, and so I went there, and I worked in the shop, and also used to take orders around, delivering orders.
What was it like working in the butchers?
It was quite interesting. I thoroughly enjoyed it. As time went on, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I went through the trade, you know. I stayed with the butchers until 1941. It was in November 1941.
Right, hang on. Now, the next thing... So, what do you remember about sort of the day war broke out? You know, I mean, it's an old joke, I know, what were you doing the day war broke out, but what do you remember about that day and how it affected you?
The day war broke out, I can remember we were out in the road playing with lots of lads, as we usually do, and somebody called out that the war has started, the war has started, and my next door neighbour, Ernie, he was quite a tall lad, we were all playing in the garden. I can remember this as playing, and he ran across the road, he just jumped straight over his front garden gate and went running indoors, because it was it seemed to be, for youngsters, it was an occasion, strange enough. We didn't realise the implications of war, did we, as youngsters? And it was quite an occasion. Well, then I carried on work and still worked at a butcher's. Couldn't wait until I was 18 or more.
Did the war affect you at all before you joined up in 41?
No, I can't say that it did. No.
Did you have any air raid? An air raid shelter?
We had an air raid shelter. Would it be the Anderson? That's right. Anderson.
And what was it? People don't know what an Anderson is these days. What was it? And who put it in? And what was it?
It was a shelter. I think it consisted of either six or eight sheets of like a reinforced steel, I suppose it was. Shaped, I mean, how would you describe a shape? just like a small workman's hut, I suppose you'd call it. Yes.
A semicircle.
Yes, that's right, yes. And my father and I, we dug this very large hole. Eventually we did get it in, but if we'd have gone down any further, we'd have come to water, so we had to stop digging. And then we got some timber and built some benches in there, so we were off the ground, and if an air raid occurred, we would all go down the shelter.
What was it like in there?
In the shelter, it was a little bit cramped. I mean, there was five of us in there, you see. Three of us, of course, were just youngsters. Well, say youngsters, we were more than children then, weren't we, at that age? Yes.
16, 17.
Yes, that's right, yes. But no, we used to manage in there quite well.
Did you have seats or bunks in
there? Yeah, we had bunks in there. My father built bunks in there. There was, as far as I can recall, at the far end, you see, at the far end, the shape of the shelter didn't give you much room, so us youngsters used to sleep there. My mother and father, I think, used to have the sides of it. And, I think it was two, and then my mother and father and somebody was in the middle. It could have been myself or my sister, whoever was sort of last in the children, would be in the centre. And then there was a wooden type. It wasn't a door really, it was just wood that was put up to deflect the blast. I could imagine that's what it was, yes. We used to have candles in there. We never had paraffin heaters or anything like that. There was a curtain which was draped over the doorway at the top of the steps as you went out. That was draped over there, more or less to keep the draft out, I suppose, and keep the weather away.
Now, what about the blackout? What arrangements did I presume was your mother make or whoever for the blackout in your house?
Yes, we had curtains, blackout material curtains we had, which we had to make sure were pulled every night. There were curtains over the doors as well, the outer doors, so that if you did happen to open the door, because in those days we had outside toilet, and if you wanted to go outside, you had to be careful because somebody would shout out, put that light out. But mind you, it was in a polite way they used to tell you to put it out in those days. Unfortunately, they'd probably call out differently today.
What was it like out? I mean, you'd be working as a butcher's boy. You'd be out and about when it was dark in the morning or even in the evening. What was it like with no street lighting at all or no nothing?
Well, I suppose in a certain way it was an excitement, you know, because riding around in the dark in those days you could go almost anywhere without any problems at all. And I mean, we used to go out if we were lucky enough to go to the cinema. We may go to a cinema, a very very old cinema, which was at top of Marketplace in Romford. I don't know if the Shell is still there or not of it at the moment, but it was a really really old one. We would go there probably once a week to see the films. Really, really old films, Tonto, and only ones that you have heard of.
Now,
snooker was another thing we used to do. There's a snooker hall in Romford.
Tell us about that, because you were allowed to go to snooker halls, were you?
Oh, yes, yes.
What were they like? Because, you know, people often talk about snooker halls as dens of iniquity. What were they like then?
Well, no, they were very, very nice. And the one we used to go to was called the Lucana in Romford. It was a very big hall. It had 12 tables in one hall. And then there was just a short sort of a passageway. And then there was another hall with 6 tables in. Well, a few years ago, Barry Hearn, snooker man, he took over, and it is now the match room, which Steve Davis and Tony Meo and Jimmy, all those people.
Now, what was it like then, though? What was the atmosphere like in there?
It was very, very good. You go in there and maybe you had to wait for a table, but all the chappies who came in there, we all knew each other, you know. We used to, well, if you hadn't got somebody to play with, if you went in there, you could wait around and somebody would come in and you'd have a game of snooker with them. I can all remember Mrs. Boss was the lady who was behind the counter. And
was it licensed? Were the drinks?
I don't think it was licensed. They do soft drinks, but I honestly couldn't say whether it was licensed or not in those days. I don't somehow think it was. No. It was a very nice place to go socially. I mean, you could walk in there. Although it was a club, you could go in there and you didn't have to play. You know, you could go in there, watch the other players playing, or if you felt that you wanted a game, then you go and have a game.
Now, what about dance halls? Were you a dancer?
Not in my early days, no. There was a dance hall in Romford known as the Shannon, which was an Irish dance club, but we used to try and avoid that if possible, because it was we were told it's not a good place to go. They were the words, it's not a good place to go.
Did you drink? I know you weren't allowed to drink, but did you drink? I mean, did you go to pubs?
No, not before I went in the service. I never used to, no.
What about rationing? As a butcher, you know, working at the butcher's, were you aware of the rationing system? Was it in full swing by 40, I think?
Yes.
How did the rationing work as far as you were concerned at a butcher's?
Well, each person had a ration book and they were allowed so much. I mean, it went by money then, you know. Maybe they'd allow you perhaps 2 shillings worth per week or 3 shillings a week, depending on what meat you had as to how much you got. If you had the best steak, Well, then, of course, you wouldn't get as much as if you had the cheap steak. And, of course, everybody used to go for the cheap steak. And then the dearer steak, we used to have quite a bit left over. But at the same time, there's always people who came along who wanted the best steak. The ration, I think, was one tenpence a week when I left the butcher's to go into the service.
Would you get more meat yourself? I mean, you know, when you're working something, did you get over your ration yourselves?
We'd probably get maybe something extra, not a tremendous amount. We would get offal, you know, like liver. We may get some liver extra. Sausages, we may make some extra sausages and have a few sausages. It was very, very tight, the rationing, very tight.
Did your mother deal with the bulk of, at home, I suppose, to work, did your mother deal with most of the rationing?
She did. She did the shopping, you know, for the groceries and, the greengrocery. My father used to go and get the greengrocery. I used to go with him. We used to go down Romford Market. And greengrocery was very, very cheap in those days, you know.
Did the clothing rationing affect you much as a growing lad? You said you put on, you know.
No, it didn't really. I can remember when I started work, I bought my first suit at a tailor's called Brandon's in Romford, and it was 17 and 6, I think it was. And I had to pay so much a week for it. And that was a 3-piece suit.
And so it didn't really affect your clothes rationing?
No, it didn't really. We had what we call our school clothes, and we had, in those days, you used to have Sunday clothes. If you're going to Sunday school, you know, you had ones which you had to look after a little bit better than those that you went out playing football in the week, you see. Yes.
Now, I think it was 1940, the bombing started, the German
1940,
bombing.
1940, yes.
Now, what do you remember about the German air raids? I mean, Romford, sort of on the track towards London, and quite near the docks.
We had quite a lot of bombing in our area, quite a lot of bombing. A lot of incendiary bombs as well. And
now, what do you remember of the bombing raids?
The bombing raids, when they came, we used to obviously go down the shelter. I was at an age, my father being a builder, we were all fire watchers in the area. The men were all fire watchers, and we did save money, went around collecting money to build a concrete shelter. And eventually we did build this concrete shelter on the corner of three roads, and it was quite thick walls, had slits out so as you could see up either road. We furnished it with table, chairs and things like this that were needed. And we used to work out a rota of all the neighbours. If they were working, they would be perhaps do the early shift. If they were working, perhaps they would be on maybe, say, like if it was dark, from probably 6 till 8. And then they need to go home. But people who were retired, quite a lot of people retired as well, you see, as well as me working and my father working, that we would do the night shift if it was required. But unless it was required, the shelter was just had two people in there for a two-hour shift, that's all.
And what were they doing in the shelter?
We'd just sit in there and we'd have a little chat until two more people came in and we'd transfer to them.
So what was the purpose of that?
Well, we used to keep fire buckets in there, sandbags, stirrup pumps, all the stuff needed. And if there was an air raid, you know, if there's incendiary bombs, we'd all get our helmets and our gas masks and chase around the road with buckets of water, knocking on people's doors for extra water if we wanted it, and with the stirrup pumps, you see. Because, as I say, at that time, it was fun to us at that age to do these things.
And what about, so this is fire watching, obviously.
Let me put that out of the way. I think that's irritating you, is it?
No, it's just I worry in case it comes on the recording, that's all.
Well, I was thinking I could hear that click, click.
Now, what about, what was fire watching like? I mean, do you remember any specific incendiaries or bombs that you had to deal with?
Oh, yes, we used to get lots of incendiaries, and, you know, we were told to stay away from them as far as possible because some of them did explode, you see. Some didn't go off at all, and, of course, we was asked to leave those, and then the wardens. There used to be air raid wardens, and they would come round and they would take care of those. Quite a lot of bombing around.
Any damage near to your house?
No, I think the nearest was about half a mile away. Yes, but that was mostly we got shattered windows and that from one or two different occasions of bombing, you know. And then they didn't put a glass in. First of all, it was a stuff that looked very much like glass. It was something like a sacking, but it wasn't a sacking as such. You could see through it. It let the light in. Pardon me, got indigestion. And I think the nearest bomb was in Brentwood Road, which is about half a mile from us. A lot, of course, on the aerodrome, because it came. They used to
go
for Hornchurch Aerodrome. Yes, and they often used to come over to bomb that, and that's why we were in the line from Hornchurch up to London. You see, because I think a lot of, they used to follow the Thames up if they could, the bombers, to get up to London, and we used to watch the flak and the searchlights training on the aircraft.
Yes. Now, what about you joined? Was it in 1940? I think you said you were 17 anyway.
Yeah, November 41. I went to the recruiting office.
No, hang on. Before we got you joined the Army Cadet. Was it the Army Cadets or the Air Cadets?
Army Cadets.
Now,
yes.
Where did you? What do you remember of your service with them, or your training with them?
Yes, I wasn't with them a tremendous long time. We used to go out on. Army manoeuvres. We used to meet in Romford, London Road, Romford, in the Territorial Army unit there, and we used to have drill, all sorts of drill, marching and this sort of. Well, it was good fun. I mean, in those days, it was discipline, and if it was discipline, you had to obey, didn't you? In those days, there was no questioning. If you were told something, that was it. You see, you didn't question it. You just did it. If you were told, go here, do this, do that, you just went about your duty and you did it. But yes, it was very, very, very
what
interesting.
What about a uniform? Did you have
I had a uniform.
What was
yes.
it?
It was a khaki uniform. I can remember it was a bit big for me, and I remember the sleeves were down here. And we had those peak caps, and you know, mine used to be right down here. It was quite hilarious, really, and they did take one or two photographs, but after the war they all got destroyed because I thought they were absolutely ridiculous. But I don't know what I must have looked like walking along, because as I say, I was very, very, very small, very not very taller, until suddenly shot up.
Now, what about weapons training? What do you remember of that? What weapons were you trained in, if any?
No, we didn't have any. They had some weapons there, but we never used to train with them.
So what did you do? What sort of training? Yeah, lots of drill, different types of drill.
Yes. Route marches. We'd have lots of lectures on many different things.
What kind of lectures?
Lectures which probably put us in good stead as we were sort of chasing around putting the incendiary bombs out, you know, because in those days, when you were cadets, you weren't going into the service then and then. It was like a couple of years before you went into the service, so they were teaching us the basics of what was happening around us at that time, like putting out incendiary bombs, how to deal with different bombs. If you see a bomb, stay away from it, report it to here. All the elementary things, I would imagine, that would be taught to cadets such as today when they go in. But of course they do use arms and ammunition now, more or less from their about 6 months after they've been in, haven't they? I'm not sure, but I
did
think
you do any
do.
Sort of tactical exercises, you know, running about pretending to attack and defend places?
No, not as I can recall. No.
Anything else about the Army Cadets, or is that?
No, I can't remember a tremendous amount about that. No.
Now, tell me how you came to join up in. This is in November 1941. Back in
yes.
How did you come to decide to join up then? Because you'd be just 18. No, I can't quite work out what you'd be at the time. What made you decide?
Well, a friend of mine, Bill Cooper, we were very, very friendly. We used to go and play snooker a lot, and on the way home one night, we thought, you know, suppose we go and join the Air Force. And then Bill Cooper lived with his grandmother, so but I had to tell my parents, and it wasn't a good thing. I was a little bit nervous about telling them. So anyway, we did go to the recruiting centre in Romford, London Road, Romford, and said we wanted to join the Air Force. I think I was asked, why do you want to join the Air Force? The thing is that as a lad, I was always over Hornchurch Aerofield because I used to love aircraft. And any time after school, I'd go across to Hornchurch. Mind it was 3 or 4 miles away, but I used to walk
would you
over,
see
there.
Over there.
Or
if you remember the name.
There's one or two Henley Page aircraft. I can't think of the name of those. There's Bristol Bulldogs. I can remember those. I can see these aircraft now, but
mainly biplanes, I presume.
Yes, they were. Yes.
But that was what
quite a lot of trainers there as well. Because Hornchurch was quite a prominent airfield during the war. It's been there many years before the war.
Was it just the flying that interested you, or was it the military flying, you know, the knowledge of what had happened in the First World War? I don't know whether you, the aces were your heroes or...
No, I don't think it's anything to do with that. It's just the fact that somehow aircraft... that's the thought. You see, when I was about 12, 13, 14... some friends, we used to go, which is now the A12, there used to be a very small airfield there called Malins Airfield, and they had a hangar there, and they had what they called flying fleas, little tiny aircraft, and we used to go up there, and we used to have a try and get a look in these hangars to look at these flying fleas, and we always wanted to get into one, and I think it's from there, and as I say, being so near to Hornchurch, and used to spend a tremendous amount of time over there,
So what happened when you went to Romford recruiting office and said you wanted to join the RAF?
Yes, he asked me why did I want to join the RAF, and I said, but I always wanted to go into the Air Force, but I hadn't got the pre-war standard in education to get into the Air Force, because before the war you had to more or less be a university man to get into the service, especially if you wanted to fly, you see. So I said, well, I didn't fancy the army, and I said I didn't fancy the navy because I couldn't swim, and he thought that was rather a strange thing to say. He said something to the effect, well, supposing you came down in an old sea or something like this, you know, and one or two. Sort of baffling questions, which I thought were rather baffling, but obviously he had something in mind when he was asking me, and he said that is all you've got to do now. You'll hear from us as time goes by. Well, of course,
you hadn't been called up. I mean, because you were 18, weren't you?
No, yes,
you just worked it out.
No, I hadn't been called up at that time. No, no.
So how long did you have to
wait? I think also I wanted to get in, so as I could go in. When I wanted to go in rather than be called up and put in something, you see. And I think this is the reason I gave to my parents that I went into the Air Force, because I didn't want to be called up and go in the Army or the Navy. And I don't know whether that's a little lie or not, but that's what I told my parents.